Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio people, God bless y'all. God bless you for listening to us, and God bless you, and thank you so much for all of your support. We have Fred Leutzer, Jürgen Neumann, and Bertha Voss for one more segment. Jürgen mentioned earlier, Miss Bertha is calling in from Germany. She has the courage of a lion. But people, I'd like to tell you, we've covered the Holocaust a good bit, and we're going to cover it some more because, like Monica Schaefer says, the Holocaust is the linchpin lie that holds all other lies together, that they've been used. Our enemy, the international Jews, they have used the Holocaust lie as a club to beat we white European Christians over the head with. Every time these criminal international Jews they pull some kind of shenanigans, you know, well, we can't really criticize them because, after all, they went through the Holocaust. I mean, I probably know 15 or 20 Holocaust survivors myself, even though I think one of them is 160 years old. But that's true, people. And you know what? If you go along and you say, oh, yes, the Holocaust is true, then what you're really doing, and they say, oh, well, you're an anti-Semite. No, what you're doing, you're saying, my parents were not cold-blooded murderers. When you say you want us to admit that the so-called Holocaust was put into effect by the innocent Germans, you're wanting me to say our people, our parents, our grandparents were cold-blooded murderers. Think about that the next time you let some jerk try to browbeat you in to say, oh, yes, the Holocaust was so horrible. Anyway, Miss Bertha, would you like to ask Fred or Jürgen any questions? We'll let you lead off this last segment. Go ahead, Miss Bertha.
My last question, I would say, is: would you be interested in having a check back at the Auschwitz and Birkenau of today compared to 1988?
Oh, I would. I definitely want to do that. And the reason I say that is the first trip I made to Auschwitz was in 1987 with two American revisionists, David McAlden and Andy Allen. They got me as their video man, and we went there. And when we were there, we went to where the swimming pool was, and we discovered that they were working on the swimming pool. There was construction site. It was just, and we thought for a minute, well, maybe they're going to get rid of it, you know, so that future generations can't. 1988, we go there, and sure enough, the pool was fine. It was renovated and made proper the way it was back then. So I thought, wow, now that's really something. So, yeah, I'd like to go back today and see what they've done to the place, if they've changed anything that I remember seeing back then, etc. I think that would just be a grand idea, if I could. Not likely going to happen, but in any case, I would love to do that. But I would like to make one quick comment on Eddie's thing about how they use the Holocaust as a club, etc. And that is that in Toronto, the biggest Canadian newspaper, the Toronto Star, had an article in 1991 in there, and the headline is Memory of Holocaust Central to New World Order. That's what it's used for. So it is extremely important to them. It is the central pillar on which their New World Order, or New Jew World Order, is resting. So therefore, it behooves all of us to figure out what the truth is and to spread that truth far and wide and undermine their agenda.
Couldn't agree more. How about you, Fred?
Well, yeah, I agree with that, because the New World Order is not going to be beneficial to anybody but the Jews, because it puts them on top, and they're going to run the entire world, and they're going to reduce the population on the planet so they can control it more easily. So there's absolutely no question. We've proved that the Holocaust didn't happen, and we have to keep hammering at them so everybody on the planet eventually understands that it didn't happen. And relative to Bertha's last question, I'd like to go back to Poland again, but I think the problem is that if I did, I think I would be arrested, and I think I would be deported to Germany and put back in prison. So I don't think that's about to happen. I spent 3.5 months in Mannheim, prison, and if they got me back in there, I was told that there's a contract out on me with the Jewish mafia that I wouldn't live a week if I got back. So I don't relish that, I'll say this much, that when I was in prison, everybody there, all of the guards and the deputy warden and everybody I dealt with, they were friendly, although they were reserved. I think they were afraid. They were a little afraid of me because they didn't want to get in trouble. But they were all cordial, and they treated me very well. So
that's fine to hear. In a way, they were neutral. Reserved,
yes.
But neutral. Did
yes,
their duty.
Well, it's amazing that people in Germany still are working with us and want to destroy the myth of the Holocaust because of the brainwashing that the Germans took, and what they did was tantamount to national assassination. The Brits are good at this. The Brits did it in Northern Ireland. They created a problem in Ireland between the Irish and the Irish, and they've done the same thing here in Germany, because they've taken many of the German people and they've educated them and brainwashed them to believe that there's something wrong with being German, and that's a total that's a total disgrace. I mean, talk about genocide. That's national genocide on Germany. So
yes, but it's done subtle. You know, it's not done. It's done by thoughts, not by bullets, which
yes.
Makes it even more intrinsic.
That's worse. That's worse. That's what the Brits do all the time. They just, when they have a problem with somebody, they destroy them from within.
People, before y'all go, I have a quick question.
Yeah.
I just have a question, and any one of you people can answer it. To make it maybe more organized, I'll ask Mr. Jurgen. I've been reading a book called The Luther, Luther Legacy, Legacy of Luther, of Martin Luther. Martin Luther, if you know, he's the one that nailed the 95 theses to the Wittenberg Cathedral. He pretty much exposed the Catholic Church for being corrupt. He also exposed the Jews. But do you think, Mr. Jurgen, do you think maybe that's one reason why the international Jewry hates and despises Germany so bad? Because Martin Luther was a real guy. He was a real minister. He was a real Christian. He exposed not only the Catholic Church and the Jews. How about that? Am I right? Is there anything to that, Jurgen?
Well, if they didn't dislike the Germans before that, that would certainly have been the beginning, yes. Absolutely agree with that. And not only the Germans, but, of course, Christians in general. You know, if he could do that, then they figure, okay, and they've started all those stories about, you know, how nasty Christians are. Well, all you have to do is look at today's movies, and that's all you get. Is nasty Christians, nasty Christians, nasty Christians all the time. It's basically a campaign against Christianity as well. But yes, I would agree that certainly Martin Luther certainly got under their skin. I think he was one of the ones that first publicly denounced them in a real public forum type of deal. And just out of curiosity, I'd just like to mention one more thing, if I may, quickly.
Sure.
Is that everybody ever watched that movie called Braveheart?
Oh, yes, sir.
With Mel Gibson,
yeah.
About William Wallace and stuff. And the way they made the English king look, Edward I, made him look like such a bad guy, which he might have been. But I think one of the reasons why they made him look so bad in that movie was because if you look in history, he was the first English king to ban Jews from England.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
There you go. A little bit of history.
Yes, sir. I certainly appreciate that.
Then I would like to see something actual, because when we had 500 years jubilee of Martin Luther, they exposed him as being, what was it? Anti-Semite, sexist. And so on, you know, the whole litany of they are doing. And
yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Bertha, there's the music. Dear Fred, Jürgen, and Bertha, thank y'all so much. God bless y'all for coming on this show. You've done such a marvelous job educating our people out there. And people, please take the education you've learned tonight and pass it on, especially to everyone, especially your youth, your children, and your grandchildren. People, we'll be right back. We're transitioning to the second segment of the second hour. We're going to bring on Ryan Owen. Be right. Good night. We'll be right back, people.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity. But our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789. Or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Radio family, I hope you don't get tired of me calling y'all Dear Blood River Radio family, because I don't get tired of saying it, and I really do. I have a feel of strong kinship with our audience. I really do. It's a great honor to try to, I don't know if I'm saying this right, to represent you, to fight for you. I take this show, Blood River Radio, I take my position very seriously. My honor is on the line each and every week. That's the reason I'm going to Charlottesville with Dr. Hill. I can tell you I do not relish going into Charlottesville. I don't think anyone would that's of what they call the alt-right, although I don't consider myself the alt-right. I consider the alt-right like an insult. I am of the hardest of the hardcore alt-right, hardest of the hardcore right wing, you might say. We are hardcore. But people, you know, we just had another section on the Holocaust. We had Fred and Jürgen and Bertha, as you will people know that we've been listening, in case anybody knew was in there. Not only tonight, they cover a lot of information. If you go back to April 3rd, I believe it's April 3rd, I'll announce it later if I'm wrong, the archives for April 3rd, they were on that for 2 hours. We did a great detailed job of dissecting the Holocaust. And, you know, we kept them on for another segment, the first segment of the second hour. Normally, I don't do that. I don't like to do that. But we have to absolutely get to some information about concerning the trial going on in Charlottesville, Virginia, where us over the Patriots are being persecuted. And we have a fellow coming on. He is the Alabama State Chairman of the League of the South. He has paid more attention to the trial than I've been able to pay attention. I haven't listened to 2 minutes of it, really. I wanted to, but I have this job on the side. I have so much other crap going on, I can't hardly keep up with it. And we'll have another fellow calling in probably around 5:30, who is the, I think, the chief executive officer. But right now, we're going to bring Ryan Owen in. Ryan Owen, like I said, he is he's the head honcho of the Alabama chapter of the League of the South. And he's going to let us know what went on in Charlottesville. And he's also conferred with Dr. Hill, and Dr. Hill has given him some information, too. So how you doing, Rand?
Doing good, Eddie. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing better since I hear your voice, since we got somebody that knows what's going on up there in Charlottesville. So I just told the people that you're going to let us know. You're going to let it to the best of your ability. I know you weren't able to listen to every bit of it because, you know what, you're a working man. You have to work for a living, unlike these illegals that are coming across the country getting $450,000 for each illegal. But anyway, go ahead. Let us know what you found out, Rand, about what's going on in Charlottesville with the trials up there.
Okay. Well, Eddie, first of all, it's good to be on with you and the gang and your listeners tonight from right here in the heart of Dixie. And I did talk to Dr. Hill briefly, and he sends his regards as well as Michael Tubbs.
Great.
And Dr. Hill's got a good feeling, as I do. Now, I haven't got to listen in the entirety, but I have listened a good bit, and I feel a lot better after what I've heard than I did going into this thing. I think so far that Judge Moon has been fair. There's been strikes of jurors on the plaintiff that the plaintiffs wanted. And there's been strikes that the defendants wanted. But I think it's pretty much equaled out. If I had to give the no's to either side, it would be the defendant side as far as the jury strikes. Actually, the plaintiffs actually challenged one of the strikes by the defendants simply because the juror was black. Although everyone that those plaintiff attorneys have struck, guess what, have been white. So the judge didn't go for that. So that was a win, so to speak, in my book. And, you know, if they seem to be trying to tie everything to James Fields. And the plaintiffs, they're going pretty much 99% on emotions, and in my opinion, very little on substance of proving what this case is about, which is that these groups, including the group that I have been involved with for over 20 years, the League of the South. They're saying that they all conspired to show up there in Charlottesville that day and cause racial violence. And I don't see them proving that. Now, that doesn't say that it may go our way, because we know who we're up against there. I mean, this head honcho attorney who is Jewish, Roberta Kaplan, she has publicly said that when she brings cases to court like this, that it is strictly to achieve political gain. I'll even quote her right here as saying, one of the reasons why I did this case, quote, Roberta Kaplan, and she's the mastermind of this lawsuit, one of the reasons why I did this case is to deter other white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and others from trying to organize anything like Charlottesville ever again, and making them understand that if they do, these will be the consequences. That's not Rand Owen saying that. That's a quote that she told the Jewish Telegraphic Agency in January of 2021. I'm sure that can be easily documented. And if anybody thinks that this is going to strictly end or only apply in the future to neo-Nazis, white supremacists, blah, 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 they're kidding themselves. It's going to be just like the monuments. They're not going to stop with so-called neo-Nazis or white supremacists. It's going to be anybody, and I mean anybody, that dares to speak against the narrative that is being shoved down our throats at warp speed now. And I just don't think they'll get away with it. I think that our Lord and Savior is going to bless us in this lawsuit, and I think that we're going to come out victorious, with a victory. Now, other things that was brought up, just to name a few, was this guy. If anybody wants to tune in and listen, I'm going to give a number. Don't let me forget it before we get off, Eddie. I want to give that number if anybody wants to listen in to that teleconference.
Give it to it now.
Monday's going to be – I'm sorry?
You go,
okay,
give
I'm going to
give it
now. Here's the number. Okay, here's the number. It's 888-808-6929. And
so
then you'll enter a code.
Okay.
Go ahead, Eddie. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. So it's 888-808-6929. And then they enter the code.
Yes, sir. And then it's a code. And the code is 4334643.
Okay. 4-3-3.
Again, 4. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to, you go ahead and give the code. I'm just going to repeat it. You go ahead and repeat it.
Okay.
Rand.
4-3-3-4-6-4-3.
Okay. I hope they got
and
they should have that.
To stay on the line. You can, I'm sorry.
Oh, so they should get it. If I can get it, anybody can. Go ahead, Rand. I hope I'm sorry for interrupting
you.
Yeah.
All you got to do is just after entering that code to stay on the line, or you can hit pound and it'll direct you. And it's listen only. I mean, like, I've been listening at work and I can't hear it all the time because there's things banging and different foods running and so forth.
Rand, we got to go to our first break, fella.
I hear the music.
Yeah, we'll be right back with you in just a second.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. Alec Baldwin spoke out amid the ongoing Rust movie shooting investigation Saturday. Baldwin, 63, spoke to photographers in Vermont, where he said he is cooperating with police.
I've been ordered by the Sheriff's Department in Santa Fe. I can't answer any questions about the investigation. I can't.
Okay.
It's an active investigation in terms of a woman dying. She was my friend. She was my friend. The day I arrived in Santa Fe to start shooting, I took her to dinner.
Dozens of New York City firehouses may close on Monday as a result of a vaccine mandate placed on city workers by Mayor Bill de Blasio. Thousands of municipal workers took to the streets in protest earlier in the week after de Blasio announced a sweeping mandate requiring the entire municipal workforce to get vaccinated with no testing option. This is USA Radio News.
Rockstar Radio is looking for a co-host. Yes, you heard me correctly. Nationally syndicated radio show and popular podcast, Rockstar Radio with Billy Gerard, is looking for a co-host. In fact, two segment co-hosts. One will join Billy weekly talking about all things financial, and another for a weekly review of the national real estate and mortgage market. Co-hosting with Billy Gerard could be the move that puts your career into overdrive. For all the details and to schedule an audition with Billy, send an email to bill@rockstar.today. That's bill@rockstar.today. Or go to rockstar.today/co-host for all the details. Rockstar Radio is looking for two expert co-hosts. It could be you. Email bill@rockstar.today or go to rockstar.today/co-host. Being on the radio with Billy will make you the expert in the field. It could take your career over the moon. Get all the audition details at rockstar.today/co-host.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis launched criticism at President Joe Biden on Friday as he called lawmakers into a special session November 15th to take up legislation to prevent vaccine mandates enacted by businesses.
He wants to have the government force kindergartners to wear masks in school. He doesn't believe the parents should have a say in that. He thinks that should be a decision for the government. Well, I can tell you in Florida, the parents are going to be the ones in charge of that decision.
The Taliban continues to display acts of brutality.
Taliban soldiers reportedly kill two civilians and wound 10 others during a wedding. Sources tell independent reporter Bilal Sawari their crime was playing music during the party. A Taliban defense official says the two officers have been arrested. Meanwhile, a video posted on Twitter shows a former police chief under the old regime being mistreated by his captors. While his hands are tied behind his back, the man is slapped. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
This is USA Radio News.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, Blood River Radio audience, we're going to go right back to Ran Owen, the Alabama chapter commando king. He is giving us his breakdown of Charlottesville, what's going on there with the federal court. He's very optimistic, or partially optimistic, more so than me, but I hope and pray he's right. Anyway, Rand, continue on. We have another gentleman on, Mark Tomey. He's listening in, and he's going to be contributing. Mark is the chief executive officer. We'll get him to introduce himself again when he comes on in just a minute. So go ahead. Continue on, Rand.
Okay, just to pick back up where I was, Eddie. Monday, though, if anybody would like to listen in, it would be very interesting because the plaintiffs had their second plaintiff to testify, one of the 20, I think it's 20 of them, and he went on and on and on, and he told multiple lies. He was at the at the Thomas Jefferson Monument the night of the 11th, one of the ones that was locked arms around it. And he more or less told that, you know, he was at a professor's home that night when they got the word, and they were planning on counter protesting on the 12th. And he went on to say that he feared for being burned alive. with the torches. And so they really, this guy, you'd have to be real naive not to see right through him. He's been schooled on this whole deal. And then he goes on, even though he feared for his life that night before, he was right back out there bright and early Saturday morning at the corner of the park, which is the southeast corner of where we were to march down and to enter the park at. Of course, they had it blocked. And he went on about how we intentionally just pushed and shoved. But he didn't say anything about everybody getting drenched with some type of spray right off the bat. And you know, Eddie, I just got to say this. The people that's at fault here is the law enforcement, the city of Charlottesville, the law enforcement, the police. If they had just done their job, because I know, Eddie, we went before, and I forget the date now. Mark might can help me. I don't know. But we went to New Orleans to defend the removal of that beautiful monument of Robert E. Lee before we went to Charlottesville. And I don't know, it was probably 150 of us or so. And there was about 1,500 or so Antifa, Black Lives Matters, and leftists of all sorts showed up that day. And the same thing would have probably happened that day, but the authorities in New Orleans did their job. They kept us separated. And if the authorities in Charlottesville had left an entrance, an open entrance to get into that park, this would have not ever happened. But I'm starting to think the whole thing was a setup, even this phony trial. I think it's all planned now. But if they had done their job, we would have went in there, had our speeches to defend that monument in Charlottesville, just like we did in New Orleans. We would have marched back out, went back to that garage or wherever people might have been parked, and we would have got in our vehicles, and we would have went home. And none of this would have ever happened. So there lies the fault of this. Now, I'm going to finish up real quick, but one thing I need to stress to the listeners, these leftists, these Jewish law firms, they've got bukus of money. We need money. We've got people there defending themselves simply because they can't afford a lawyer. We got other groups that have lawyers, but we need some financial support. Michael Tubbs needs it. Dr. Hill needs it. The League of the South needs it. So if anybody out there would be so inclined to help out, big, small, it doesn't matter. I'm going to give the address, and you can send a check, money order, or cash, and just donate it. You can make it out to the League of the South, but donate it down for the four sign for the legal fund. And it will strictly go to the defense to help these guys win this thing against these leftists. And that address, just send it to the League of the South, P.O. Box 760, Killian, Alabama, 35645. Again, P.O. Box 760, Killian, Alabama, 35645. But you know, if we don't, and I say we, because like I said, I've been involved with the League of the South a long time now. If we don't win this thing, freedom of speech is over with. The right to assemble is over with unless it fits the leftist narrative. If it goes against their narrative, you're finished. And this lawyer, Roberta Kaplan, she says it publicly that that's her goal, to shut us down. But we're not going to be shut down. We're not going to be shut down regardless whether they win this thing or not. But anyway, I'll let Brother Mark chime in.
Thank you so much, Rand. You did great, Brother. Mark, you've been on the show before, but tell the people, just in case we've got some new listeners tonight, people that wouldn't know last time you were on, give the people a little bit of bio about yourself.
Well, I'm a native of the great state of Arkansas. Grew up there, got my college degree at the University of Arkansas in engineering, and have been practicing that profession for going on 40 years now. And I now live here in Alabama. I've been the executive officer for the League of the South for about the last 3 or 4 years, but I've been a member of the league for about 25 years. And so that's kind of the thumbnail sketch of who I am.
That sounds great. Another, I'm proud of Rand too. You know, Rand, both these guys are work for themselves. Rand has his own construction company, and I'm so proud to have both these guys on there. Both brother League of the South Earth and just brother white Christians. But continue on, Mark. Go ahead, brother. Anything you have to add to what Rand said will be more than welcome.
Well, I'm, you know, most of what Rand has already filled everybody in on is a lot more detailed than what I know. I really haven't had a chance to listen to any of the proceedings up to this point, but I did have a chance to have a brief conversation with Dr. Hill yesterday. And from his perspective, he told me that he feels encouraged by how things are going up to this point. Now, you know how it is with courtroom trials. Anything can happen at any time, and the momentum can swing back and forth, you know, depending on how the lawyers and the witnesses play out in front of the jury and so forth. But for right now, the general attitude of our folks in this is a positive one at this particular point in time.
You know, guys, either one of y'all can answer this question. This is supposedly a civil trial at a federal court. Now, you know, in a criminal trial, for instance, if you're on trial for murder, if I'm not mistaken, it only takes one juror to say not guilty to hang the jury. Do any of you gentlemen know, is that the case in a civil trial, or do you just have to have a majority? And for instance, if they have a majority, say they have 12 on a jury, if we have 7 people to say guilty, or 7 people to say innocent, how does that work? Is it the same ratio of jurors that have to agree on one way or the other? Or Mark, anyone of y'all know the answer to that question?
Well, Eddie, from what I understand, it's got to be unanimous.
Yeah, that's my understanding, too. I've read a couple of articles that were written and posted online about how the proceedings are supposed to work. And as I recollect from my reading of the articles I've seen, is that it has to be a unanimous verdict also.
Thank you so much, Mark. As you may hear the music, we have to go to another break. We'll be right back, y'all.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Well, God bless you people. I cannot believe this these 2 hours have gone so fast, but I'm getting ready to go back to my dear brother Mark and Rand. But here's the way I look at it. We are going into, really, it's not a government. They can call it a federal courthouse in the Western District of Virginia. But what we have running this country, indeed running the whole world right now, we take our marching orders from the United Nations. You might as well say the United Nations, because the Jews can totally control the United Nations. Everything you see going on here in the United States, for instance, like this Biden dude, I will not call him a president. He's going to start awarding $450,000 for every illegal. I mean, believe it or not, I mean, this sounds like a fairy, like a nightmare. $450,000 for every illegal that comes across our Mexican border, southern border, and $1 million for every family. We don't have a government. You've heard me say this before. I'm going to make this quick. I'll go back to Mark. We have a Jewish, international Jewish, Satanist, Bushelfic, criminal cartel in the United Nations, in the United Nations building, and also in Sodom of the Potomac, Washington, D.C. I don't recognize them. I don't consider them my government. I consider them an invading force that has conquered our country. Call it Zog. Call it what you want. But we have, when I say we, I'm talking about white Christians, white Southerners, and it's worldwide now. They have captured us. The last election just spelled that out loud and clear. I owe no allegiance to them. I despise them. I will resist them in every way possible. And I don't even see why in the hell we're even in Charlottesville. I think if I was Dr. Phil, I'd tell them to go to hell. I don't even recognize their authority. I don't recognize their so-called court systems. I would say, come and get me, because we're going to get our constitutional sheriff, a constitutional posse, a constitutional militia, and we're going to be prepared for you. Matter of fact, we might even come get your sorry tail. We need to get citizens, grand juries in the states. We need to convene these grand juries, and we need you to indict these clowns in so-called Washington, D.C., and we need to go get them and arrest them and put them on trial. Instead of us being up there in trial, we don't need to put their tails on trial. That's the way I look at it, people. And that, I'm going to shut up and go right back to you, Mark.
Absolutely right on one point, Eddie, and that is that those who exercise authority over us at this point definitely constitute an organized criminal enterprise, and you can't look at it rationally and come to any other conclusion. It's lawlessness writ large. It's do as I say, not as I do, and of course the financial part of it too. That you mentioned there as well. There's an old saying here in Dixie that he who pays the piper calls the tune. And so, when when the all the money that the U.S. government borrows from the Federal Reserve and the other international banking cartels, which are all privately held organizations, they don't, they're not government entities. These are private banking corporations. When they control the money, then that determines how the U.S. government sets its policies and functions from day to day. And so as long as you are held captive to these kind of people, then you don't have a free government. You basically have a financial oligarchy that's dictating to your so-called representatives in Washington, this is what you're going to do if you want us to shell out the shekels to you, you know. So I certainly wouldn't mind seeing a lot of grand juries convened and a lot of these people called to account. But by the same token, you know, our stance in the League of the South is that we'd just assume that all of our southern states declare their independence from the United States. And then we're out from under their jurisdiction. We don't have to worry about what they say or what they do anymore, because we're no longer politically, socially, culturally, or economically connected to those people. As long as our people keep laboring under the delusion that they have to maintain the so-called United States as it exists now, then it's a losing proposition when it's all said and done. Secession and independence are the only rational policies that will substantially change the situation in which we find ourselves. You're not going to reform Washington, D.C. You're not going to elect the right kind of guys to go up there and fix anything. I'm about to be 62 years old. I've been following politics since I was about 16. And, you know, we've been pursuing that course for that period of time, you know, roughly 50 years. And all it's done is gone from bad to worse. So please pray tell for me how you think you're going to fix this by voting for the candidates that they select for you. You know, if it was like it was once upon a time where candidates for public office naturally arose from the communities and the counties or the states that were going to be represented at the various levels of government, and they knew who their neighbors were and people had respect for them and encouraged them to run for office, that would be one thing. But we haven't put people up for office like that in over 150 years. You know, the national parties control who gets to run for office at the national level, and in a lot of cases the state level. And so as long as you are trying to play the criminal's game by their criminal rules, you're always going to lose. I've likened it to people who foolishly think they can go to Las Vegas and beat the house. It's not going to happen. The game is rigged against you. You know, you're going to walk out of there with less money than you walked in with 9.5 times out of 10. And it's the same thing with the political situation in the United States. You're never going to win as long as you allow them to pick the people who are going to run for office. And then who are going to do it step and fetch for the powers that be behind the curtain, if you will, who are telling them what to do. You're not going to be represented by anybody. And if you think you are, as I said on one of the last times I was on, you know, I'm sorry to say this, but you're one of the worst kind of fools walking the face of the earth right now. You're just not facing the objective realities that are staring you in the face.
That's an excellent point. I feel exactly like you do. Hey, I just got a note from Sam or Jay. It says, hey, Eddie, Barbara Ann called us, and she mentioned that we gave out the number for call for Charlottesville, at least Rand did. She said we should mention a time to call that number before the show's over. Rand, is there any specific time? I think you did mention the time, Rand, for the call that number.
Yeah,
you know,
8 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Court starts at 9 o'clock Eastern time, so it'll be 8 o'clock Central.
Okay, okay. So that answers.
About 9 o'clock.
That answers Barbara's question. That, in other words, that takes care of her request right there. You know, Rand, do you have anything?
Hey,
Andy.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing about the jurors having to be unanimous or whatever. They do have to. It has to be unanimous. But now, I also read where they don't have to end up with 12. They got to end up with 6, but they can be disqualified. They can whittle it down to they only have 6 and still make a decision. So for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, I read that too, Ryan.
So
I
hope that don't happen. I hope that don't happen, because I don't have any way of knowing, but I think it's kind of even right now, you know, as far as our side and their side, you know. But like I said, I don't really know. That's just a feeling I got, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, at the end of the day, it should be, if things are in a world spinning properly on its axis, as I like to say, it should only come down to, can the plaintiffs present incontrovertible facts that prove their allegation? And the fact of the matter is, they cannot do that.
That's right.
There's no evidence out there that they can point to prove the allegation that they have made in their court filing. Now, again, that's in a world spinning properly on its axis. When you're talking about being in the courts of Mordor on the Potomac, anything is possible. You know, I've read lots of articles over the years of people being in federal court for one thing or another, and the judges won't allow you to present evidence. They won't allow you to call certain witnesses. There's all kind of things that they will do to prejudice the jury against you. So, you know, I'm like Rand. I'm cautiously optimistic, but by the same token, I've seen this movie before in other situations with other people. And so if somebody pulls the string on that judge and says, no, you're not going to allow this evidence in, or yes, you're going to allow these people to say something else, you know, that's a lie or whatever, and then not allow it to be rebutted, you know, it can go either way. It just depends. But, you know, there are a lot of us who are offering up our prayers on behalf of all of those who are defending themselves up there. And as I heard Rand say a little bit earlier, you know, my earnest hope is that Almighty God will intervene on our behalf, and that this will be one instance where justice will be done.
Amen.
I voiced that prayer myself. You know, people, we're about to run out of time, but we'll be covering this, unless something happens, we'll be covering this full bore next week. But I would like to voice my agreement with Rick Wiles. It's time for we the people to get the pitchforks and march upon the towers of power. We have lost complete control of this country. We have no representation. We have no justice. We are becoming, stalked creatures in our own country. There's nothing left for us to do but fight. That's the Bombardier's opinion.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much,
Mark.
The
day of reckoning is on the horizon.
Yes. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Cameron. Thank you, dear audience, for tuning in tonight. We're still here, God willing, we'll be bringing you the results of the courtroom proceedings next week. Well, good night, everybody.